tonight. Try to be an encouragement for a little while. It's good. It's encouragement knowing Jesus Christ your Savior. Amen. And preacher preached a lot on storms and stuff this morning and everything else, and preached that message about that. But it's good to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't know how we make it without Him. And these people outside these doors tonight beating their heads up against the wall without Jesus Christ, I feel sorry for them, really. And I just want to try to be an encouragement to God's people tonight. And all these points and what I'm going to preach on, you know all about it. But sometimes we get so busy in the world, we forget some of it. And the Lord is so good to us. And this week has been tough, but it's been a blessing, too, when you go to a funeral of a saint that's passed away and gone home to heaven. I mean, it was a celebration of life, and that's what the family asked me to do, was do a celebration of life with Sister Faye, and it was to send a saint on home to the Lord. Amen. I mean, it was a good farewell. Brother James, we'll need your prayer, though. I mean, I was over at his house and with him on Monday, and boy, I tell you, that was rough. I sat there with him in the kitchen, missed me and him. And I just couldn't imagine what he must have been sitting there thinking about. You know what I mean? So definitely want to pray for him for sure. And I want to thank everybody. My wife made a bunch of phone calls, and everybody came together and just made that funeral and the food and everything and the fellowship and all of it was just wonderful. The family thanked me over and over and over again. All the sisters did and the brother. Just very thankful for this church. So good testimony on the church and all the food you brought. Praise God. There was plenty of food. It worked out great. So if I didn't tell you thank you personally, I am right now. But they're not here, call somebody and tell them. Say, Brother Ron, thank you. All right. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at the scriptures here tonight. Just a few. And it says in verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But look at verse 25. It says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the air conditioning, Lord. I thank you for a good church, Lord, to be in, a good place to preach, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight, Lord. I pray that you would just bless them, that the word of God would sink deep in their heart, give them something to meditate on all week, Lord, that would put a smile on their face. Lord, I thank you for saving me, and Lord, I do pray for our missionaries tonight, Lord. They're all over the world preaching the gospel, and I pray that you give them fruit for their labor. Lord, I pray for those that are sick and having problems tonight, Lord. A lot of our church family is sick and mourning and all that stuff right now, Lord, and I pray that you'd be with them. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you do for us. Help us tonight, Lord, to focus on you just for a little bit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We like the song, and I was going to look it up real quick, Standing on the Promises of God. Amen. We sing that around here a lot. It's from page 364 in our hymnal, and I'm not like preacher. I'm not going to sing it. Amen. He sings a lot during his messages. I'm just not that way. Amen. If I do, y'all turn me off real quick. So I just read a couple of verses. Like singing, Standing on the Promises of God. But in verse 1, if you'll look there, it says, Standing on the promises of Christ my King through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Look at verse 2, if you opened your hymnal, it says, Standing on the promises that cannot, what? Fail. Promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living, look at that. Didn't we just read that? By the living word of God, I shall prevail. Verse 3 says, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally. Amen. Woo, I'm going to preach on that in a minute. You better get excited and help me. Amen. Bound to Him eternally, by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. And the last one says, standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. What a wonderful verses to read of that song. And sometimes we don't realize that when we're singing it. We don't think about what we're singing half the time. We're just up there just doing our job. We're singing in the choir, doing whatever, and don't think about the words. But we love to claim those promises, do we not? Don't we love to talk about the promises of God and stand on that? And I thought about these different kinds of promises. I thought about you, me and you and how we are. My grandfather taught me growing up that when you told somebody something, then you stick to it. It didn't matter what happened or what this or that, you stuck to it. You know, today people tell you stuff straight to your face and it don't mean a single thing. It don't mean nothing anymore. I mean, it used to mean something to tell something. In order to make a promise and it be worth anything, you have to meet it and keep it. Amen? These people that say, hey, preacher, I'll see you Sunday morning. I'll be there Sunday morning. They ain't got no more intentions of being there Sunday morning than anything else. Somebody tell me they're going to be. I expect them to be there. Amen. We got one particular person in our church that I see quite often, usually two or three times a week, and he knows who I'm talking about. I don't want to embarrass him. But every time he comes down the shop, I say, now, brother, I'm going to see you Sunday. Oh, yeah, preacher, I'm going to be there. I'll be there, preacher. Don't you worry about that. And then I even cornered the wife the other day. They both come down the other day. And I said, hey, I ain't seen y'all in church. Oh, preacher, we'll be there. I tell you what, if I was holding my breath waiting on them, I'd be dead already, amen? They ain't got no intentions of showing up half the time and all that. And what I'm trying to get at is your word ain't nothing if you don't plan on keeping it, amen? Yeah. Might as well not even tell somebody something if you have no intentions of keeping it. Now, I know things come up and emergencies happen, this and that, but I'm going to tell you what, we have become a society of more excuses than you can shake a stick at, amen? People lay out of church for the smallest things. People not show up for the smallest things. People, all kinds of stuff. I mean, people's word today ain't no. That's why the bank makes you sign everything. There ain't no more of that handshake and say, well, we're good to go. Now you got to sign everything, have collateral, have proof of all kinds of stuff, about 25 different references and all that stuff. Even if you go get a job today, what do you have to give? References. You know why? Because employers are tired of people saying, I'll be there for work on Monday. And that employer's waiting, counting on somebody to show up, and they never show up. You know what I'm saying? When we sing that song, Standing on the Promises of God, think about who said those things. Think about who made those promises. When you don't keep your word, people can no longer trust you or your promises. When it comes to the Bible, you have to understand that God is not a liar. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to tell you, of all the people in the world that you can count on God. This week, I ain't going to lie to you, preacher. I was up there family had talked to me and all that stuff. And I had the Lord put the message right on my heart. There was no problem with that. I had that and all that. But then the Lord put something else on my heart to say to the family before we come into that funeral area and all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. I called on God. I said, now listen, you called me into this business here preaching. You called me into doing this. This is your ministry and I'm just part of it. And you better show up. Amen. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I was like, hey, don't leave me standing there all by myself. Amen. You better show up. And I got to talking to the family and then we left there to go down the hallway and all that. And funeral home person looked at me and he said, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm just a little nervous. That's all. He said, it'll be all right. Don't worry. You doing all right. You know, and I said, well, that's because the Lord is walking down this hallway with me. Amen. Yeah. Getting ready to do that. But God's not a liar. He said he'll be there. You got to understand when it comes to the Bible and understanding the things of the Bible that what you're reading in here is the truth and nothing but the truth. Amen. This ain't something that might happen or maybe it'll happen or whatever. Whatever God writes in this book, you can count on it. Amen. You can count on everything that God puts in here, everything that He's wrote, everything that He's inspired somebody else to write. You can count on what's in here. What God has written in truth and been proven and endures forever. Look at verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that does what? that liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Hey, it ain't like us that's going to come and go away, and it ain't like all this other big leaders that come on the scene one day and are gone another. Hey, the Word of God is a living Word, amen, and it's going to abide forever. It never dies. It don't never get old, amen. It's good every time you read it. It's good every time you need it in your life. It's good, ain't it, Mustang? This is some good stuff, ain't it, amen. She's over there smiling, agreeing with me, and we know what's in here is good. Verse 25, it says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." Thank God that we can count on this old book. We can count on God's word, and what a blessing that is. One thing people struggle with sometimes in their life is salvation. Is that not right? I mean, people struggle with that all the time. Even when I was studying for this and me and the Lord was having a talk, I said, "Now, Lord, you know I've preached that stuff down there a million times. Lord, you know I preach on salvation constantly. Let me preach on something else. There's a bunch of other promises I could preach on tonight." And the Lord said, "Just keep preaching it." You know what I've come to discover and what I've come to find out? It ain't just this church. It's all churches. It's all assemblies where people come together. And there could be people been sitting in the church house for 10 or 20 years, 30 years, listening to the preaching, listening to that same old message all the time about how Jesus saved, that same old message about how He died on the cross of Calvary, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, one day, somebody been sitting on the pew bench 30 years. Says, "I need to get saved tonight. I need to get my life right with God." I'm going to tell you something. You can stand on that promise of God. Amen. You can stand on the promise of salvation when it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that are shaky that you can be standing on. You can be standing on our political situation and you're in trouble, my friends. I mean, if you're counting on Trump or you're counting on Hillary to help things out, you are standing on the wrong kind of ground. Amen. You may be standing on your job and say, "Man, I got a firm foundation right here where I work." I'm going to tell you something. In our society that we live today, there ain't none of that stuff secure anymore. Amen. It could fall tomorrow. It could be here tomorrow. It could all be washed away tomorrow. Amen. That is not a promise that you want to stand on. The only thing that's firm and true is what God has said in His Scripture. Amen. And I'm telling you, one of the promises that He has is the promise of our salvation. It is a promise, and it's not our promise that we made to Him. You understand that? People forget that sometimes. I sit there and I talk to people all the time. And we've had people come up through the teenage group and all that stuff that made professions of faith and all that stuff and ask the Lord to save them. And then a few years go by and all that, and they get a little confused about that again. And one of the things that we often forget about salvation, we're not the ones that died on the cross. We're not the one that shed the blood on Calvary. We were not the perfect lamb that was sacrificed for the sins of the world, amen? We wasn't that person. The person that did that was Jesus Christ. It's all about what Jesus done and not what you and I have done, amen? I tell you, so many people struggle with that in their walk with God and try to get past that in their life and think, "Man, then this is what I've come up with." All the people I've talked about, some people are just waiting for this great spiritual, emotional outbreak in their life. You know what I mean? They expect to see a dove coming down from heaven like a spirit, like it did with Jesus, you know. They're waiting for, and it ain't always like that. You know what I mean? And why it's so important to know the Bible is because you got to know what the Bible says about salvation. You got to know that. And what a lot of people have is they have a religious experience. That's a good word for it, isn't it? They have a good religious experience. And I know back in the years, and boy, I wish it was like that again now. I can't wait for it to break loose someday. But I've been in those meetings before where, man, I thought, golly, if I wasn't saved, I'd want to be saved, amen. If I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'd want to do it all over again, amen. People shouting, hollering, running the aisles, amen, flicking the handkerchief and all that, say, "Woo! Boy, I'd like to get some of that again." We don't get that again, amen. It's a one-time deal. And the reason why it's a one-time deal is because He was perfect. Amen? Hey, we don't have to go back there over and over and over again. His salvation, what He has provided, is perfect. What the imperfect part is what we're looking at. And so many times we confuse that salvation based on the way we're acting, the way we're talking, the way we're walking, all those sort of things. Amen? Now, I even question myself sometimes, man, how could you be saved and think stuff like that? How could you be saved and have them kind of thoughts in your head sometimes? Well, it ain't hard for me to understand that. I know what kind of life I used to live. Amen? I'm still fighting this old flesh and the garbage that's in this thing. But I'm going to tell you what, just because I don't feel like I'm saved, just because I don't feel like all that, and I'm not having some great religious movement at the time, doesn't mean I'm not saved. Amen. I'm telling you, we can stand on the promise of salvation because it's God's promise. It's all about Him and not about us. Amen. It's about what He's done and not what we've done. I look at verse 18 and 21. Look at that. Woo! I like these verses here. Verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." Amen. Oh my goodness, God didn't go find a bunch of old junk and try to buy me back. Amen. He didn't go dig up some old homeless person out of the gutter and say, "Hey, you'll work. We'll just sacrifice you." Amen. No! I wasn't bought back with corruptible things. I was bought with a precious... Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me read it first. I was redeemed with... not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. But look at verse 19. You with me? "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for who? For me," amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we are not bought with a bunch of junk, amen. Not with a bunch of old antique coins. We have been bought back by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you pay a lot for something, it's worth something, amen. Woo! Jesus paid us life for me, and I don't know why, but I'm worth something to Him. Amen. It's all about what God has done. All we have to do, listen, all we have to do is believe God's promise. Ain't that right, Mustang? What do we got to do? Believe. That's what we got to do. We got to believe. I try to get that through those teenagers' heads every Wednesday night. All you have to do is what, church? Believe, believe, believe. And I'm going to read that to you because I'm going to tell you what. You ain't always going to feel saved. You ain't always going to feel like coming to church. Amen. You ain't always going to feel like reading your Bible. Amen. You ain't always going to feel like praying. Amen. I know I'm hitting all of them with y'all. Y'all quit amening me after the first one. Amen. Y'all already said, man, I thought he was going to be an encouragement tonight. I'm trying to be an encouragement. I'm trying to give you the promise of God. Amen. Listen to this. I am so glad, Brother Butch, I am so glad God wrote it down in a book of what my salvation is all about. I am. I'm going to tell you what. I tell people when they come down to get pray to get saved, I'm going to say, look, you mark these verses in your Bible because you're going to need them one day. You better know where Romans 10:9 is in your Bible one day. Because you're going to get caught up in some of the most thinkingest sin you've ever seen in your life. You're going to think some of the most awfulest junk that you ever thought of in your life. Some of the most deceitful things are going to come out of your heart one day. And you're going to go, my goodness, I must not know who Jesus Christ is. He must not even be my Lord and Savior if I'm thinking some stuff like that. And you got to remember, it ain't all about that. It's about believing in the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about. And the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And my notes are way up there, but go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 5. And I'll try to find it here without going back up there. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the what? Record." When you were born, was there a record made? A birth certificate, right? If you go down to the courthouse, can you find that record? You sure can. Is there a record of Jesus Christ's birth? Is there a record of His death? Is there a record of His resurrection? It's right here, amen. This is the record that He wrote down that you and I can go back to and say, it's written right here is what happened right there. Was any of y'all know when y'all was born? No. You couldn't even think for yourself. But you got a piece of paper that's certified and stamped that said you was born, right? I mean, you got a record of where you came from and all that stuff, and guess what? God wrote it all down by Jesus Christ. He said, right here's the record. You can go to the courthouse. Here it is. Amen. Well, you used to be able to go to the courthouse. They kicked that out, I think. But you can come to the church house and get in. This is the record. And look at what it says there in verse 11. And this is the record. And this is the record that God has given to us what? Eternal life. And this life is not is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now listen in verse 13. One of my favorite verses. Now I'm going to tell you why this is one of my favorite verses. Because Brother Paul don't have to convince me that I'm saved. Preacher don't have to reconvince me that I'm saved every time I don't feel saved. Sister Tammy don't. Mustang don't. The teenagers don't. Nobody has to. My wife don't have to say, now, honey, now I remember that day. I remember that day you went down there and you prayed, you did all that stuff and everything. You've got to be saved. Hey, the Bible says this. This is written. These things have I written unto you that believe. What did it say, Mustang? Believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Written right there. You know when I don't feel saved, am I saved? Absolutely. You can't send me to hell if you wanted to. You can't. I can't send myself to hell if I wanted to. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I know that He died for me, and I know He was risen the third day, and I know that He's in heaven waiting on me, amen. I know all that stuff, and if there's a time where I feel like I'm not saved, I can go and read about it. Because here's the record. Amen. That's been written down for you and I. But people don't understand how important this book is. Standing on the promises of God and you don't even know what they are. Amen. I remember one time, preacher and Sister Lisa and all of us was out visitation. And I've never shared this before, but I remember we were out knocking on doors in this neighborhood over here. And we were walking around and remember that old lady that was sitting in a swing right next to the road? And we all walked up there. Preacher was talking to her and stuff like that, talking to her about things about God. And she was all kind of happy about talking about religion kind of and God and Jesus and all that. And preacher asked her this question. Said, well, do you know that that heaven will be your home or some sort like that? Asked her that. And she said, well, I hope so. Man, that just hurt my heart because here's a 70, 80-year-old woman, however old she is, sitting by the swing on her porch, whatever, by the road there. And then I'm thinking, man, to be that old and just hoping that you go to heaven. Man, I'm 44 years old. I got all kinds of health problems. I'm glad I know that I'm going to heaven. Amen. I mean, I may not wake up tomorrow. I'm glad that I know that heaven is my home. And the reason why I know that is because God wrote it in this book right here. And He said, if I would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to take me to heaven one day. Amen. And that is a promise from God that I can rely on because I can already prove that most of everything that's been written in here has come to pass. It ain't a fairy tale. This is some real stuff here. Amen. Whoo, I'm glad I know it. Not only that, I ain't never going to get through this message, but point number two is we have the promise of God's infinite love toward us. I'll make this one short. I never can get, boy, I tell you, I can't preach good on that sometimes because I just can't understand it. I can't get a grasp of it very good. I've been praying for years that God would let me be able to preach on God's love and how much, and there just ain't enough words to expound on God's love toward us. Paul wrote a lot about it in the Bible in Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. Let me tell you something. The reason why I say His infinite love is there's nothing you can do to make God quit loving you. Yeah. Yeah. Ain't that something? I mean, people, Oh, man. Now, you think about these people that are married, and they've been married forever. I know a guy right now going through my head. 37 years of marriage. You know who I'm talking about, don't you, babe? He comes down to the office all the time, and he tells the same story every time he comes down there. He's been married 37 years, and all this stuff, and his wife got up and walked out and left him after 37 years, and all this stuff. And I mean, the poor old man's just lost. He don't know what to do and everything else. I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to wake up one day and God be gone. We're not going to wake up one day and He quit loving us. And He said, well, I loved you yesterday. But after that performance last night, we're done. After that little stunt you pulled Sunday in church, we're done. The love is cut. That's the way we are, though. But there is nothing that you and I can do to separate us from God's love. His love is infinite. If you look in Romans chapter 8 there, and hopefully most of your Bibles are even marked there, but Romans chapter 8, if you look at those verses for a minute, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Thank God right there. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation... Preacher was preaching on that this morning, amen. The storms of life, the way life is. Tribulation, no. Distress... persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, which means no, for y'all that don't understand the King James Bible. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor death, or height, depth, nor any other creature, look, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even on my dumbest, stupidest day as a child of God, He still loves me. Even when I make the most dumbest mistakes that a human being can make, He still loves me. You know, husband and wife, just to throw a comment in there for a minute, if a good husband and wife will love each other through everything, they will. Don't matter. Storms of life and all that. But they might not talk to you that night. Amen. You do something dumb enough or stupid enough, it may be a long night. I'm glad I got an office with an air conditioner in it, amen, where I can sleep. Now, I don't get in that bad of trouble. I try not to get in that bad of trouble. But I know some people that won't go to bed and won't talk to each other and spend 2 or 3 days not talking to each other and all that because that guy done something stupid, right? Said the wrong thing, looked the wrong way, all wear sunglasses in the summer, whatever. All that stuff and get in trouble. But there's one person that you can be as dumb as you want to be. And when you're ready to talk to him, he's ready to talk to you. And he don't say, well, I don't know if I love you anymore. Well, I might love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. God's in love with us every day. I mean, when we mess up, He still loves us. When we're in trouble, He still loves us. When we are out of our mind, not thinking right, He still loves us. And you know why? Because it's His promise. He promised me that He would love me. Going on, another one is the promises of God. Promises of God are present in our life. Let me go on to the next one. Jesus said in John 14, 16, and 17, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, forever. No matter what, God is there. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We have the promise of His presence at all times. No matter, I mean, He is with us everywhere we go. That's where when I was talking about the funeral things, His presence was there. When we meet together in here to have a meeting, His presence is with us. One person that truly understood that. Now, Jesus tried to tell His disciples all the time. I think I got the verses written down here. But He tried to tell them. He tried to make His disciples understand that once He left, that the Comforter was going to come. Remember that, Samuel and John, me and you, we talked about that last thing we was doing in Sunday school. And you know, if you were sitting around thinking for a minute, we were sitting with Jesus, and Jesus was here, and we spent 3 years with Him and all that stuff, and we've been walking with Him, and we're the disciples and stuff, and He says, starts talking out of the blue in John chapter 14. He said, "Now, I'm going to go away. I got to go away, but I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to send the Comforter. And the Comforter is going to abide with you, and the Comforter is going to be in you, and it's going to be just like I'm with you. You're going to think I'm still here. Even though you're not going to see me, you're going to feel my presence, and I'm going to be there, and the Comforter is going to teach you all these things that I've told you that you're forgetting about. The Comforter is going to teach you that stuff." Well, you and I understand that, but can you imagine Peter and John and all them sitting there going, "What is he talking about? What in the world? Who is going to come after him? Who is the Holy Ghost? What is he talking about?" And you know, Jesus died and rose again and all that stuff. And then we preached on this not too long ago. They were out fishing, right? Jesus comes along, finds them, says, "Get in here. Fix some fish, fix some dinner," goes to the upper room, talks with them, all that stuff. Doubting Thomas comes, looks at the nails, all that stuff. You're catching up with me. You're good people, read your Bible. All that stuff's happening, everything else. And you know, then here they are, and here Jesus disappears, and they're all standing around gazing up in the air. And the angels come, says, "What are you doing standing here gazing? Get to work." And then we read Acts chapter 2. Can you imagine probably what the look on Peter's face was in Acts chapter 2? But he opened his mouth. The Bible says that, I think that's the first account that we have of somebody being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus went away and he says, "When I go away, you shall receive power. And the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you." And then a few verses later, we start Acts chapter 2. And Peter's standing in front of all the nations of the world that they says that are there from all these nations. And he opens his mouth. Boom! I mean, all kinds of stuff starts happening, right? I mean, he starts preaching. People start getting saved. Things start happening. The place comes unglued. Amen. People start believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's there. Everybody's in one accord. And I mean, they experience what the Holy Ghost is all about. Peter probably said, "Oh, that's what he was talking about. This is what it's all about right here. Amen. He is with me." Amen. I mean, when he opened his mouth and the word started coming out, he said, "Hallelujah." I mean, he probably like me when I'm preaching. I don't even know what I'm saying half the time. It's the Lord just putting thoughts in your head and all that. And you're standing back going, "Wow, look at this. People are getting saved. Things are happening." I mean, you're thinking all that in your head while you're preaching. You're going, "Look at what God's doing." You're not sitting there thinking about, "Look what I'm doing." You're going, "Wow, God is awesome." Peter was probably sitting there going, "Man, this is real. This stuff really works." That's what he was preaching to himself. Amen. Holy Spirit fell like that. And then what about chapter 3? I'm going to mess my message up for later. But in Acts chapter 3, what happens then? He walks up to a man and he says, "Hey, silver and gold have I none, but I'll give you what I got," and heals the man. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. I mean, Peter's saying, "Man, being filled with the Holy Ghost is something else." Jesus said, "I promise you, if you're a child of God, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." He's always there with us. He's there to hold us. His presence is always with us. You know, there's some dark times in our life. Preacher, I'm not going to re-preach what he preached this morning, but he already told you through those trials of your life, he's right there with you. I mean, I've been through the darkest times of my life. I mean, I've been through some dark times. And even though you don't think He's there, He's there. He's right there, loving you. He's right there, right beside you, saying, we're going to make it. It's going to be all right. His presence is always there. You know, preacher, when we stand in the pulpit and we prayed and all that stuff, I don't know about you, but I always pray, Lord, you please show up. You know, please show up. Don't make me stand up here in the flesh and preach a message. Please show up. And His presence is there. When you do a funeral and that precious person's laying there in the casket, that his child that he's come and taken home with him, His presence is with the people. What a sweet presence to have Jesus with you. Amen. What about those times when you don't even know what to do and you don't even know what to say, you don't even know what to think? His presence is there. He's with you. I know Sister Tammy can relate to this with me, and I don't think it's an embarrassment to her or myself, but there's times at night when I can't sleep and I'm wondering about my children. They're out on the streets. They're out. Only God knows where they are. And I can't sleep. And I'm worried about them and everything else. And you know what? I just call on the Father. His presence is there with me. His presence is there. And He says, hey, you know, it's that sweet presence that, of the Holy Spirit that's with us. Jesus told those disciples the Comforter's coming. And boy, when they experienced the Comforter and the Holy Spirit being there, what a feeling that must have been. John chapter 14. I'll be there for just a minute and I'll quit. John chapter 14, verse 22, it says, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we. Y'all ever picked up on that before? And we, look at what it says, and we will come unto Him and make our abode with Him. You know what happens then? Then you got God the Father and the Holy Spirit all in one. Amen. It says, and we will come and make our abode with Him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And I preached all that, but you need the verses to go with it. Amen. You know, it's one thing for somebody to tell you they're always going to be there with you. But it's another thing to know they're going to be there with you. Me and my wife worked out a good agreement. If I ever think about leaving her, she's going to kill me. And if she ever leaves me, I'm killing her. Amen. Till death do you part. And one of us going to die. I don't know. I ain't going nowhere. Amen. I got the good end of the deal. She got the raw end of the deal. But it don't matter with God. He's always there. You don't ever have to worry about whether God's there or not. I'm telling you, when I am pouring my eyes out before God, He's there. When I'm bouncing off the mountaintops, He's there. He's always there. Man, God is so good to us. Lastly, and I'll close, but the last promise of God that you can stand on is that He's promised us a heaven. I've used these verses at the ending of By the Graveside, thinking about Sister Faye. But John chapter 14, the same one, starting in verse 1. Look at what he says. The first thing he says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled about this stuff. Don't let your heart be troubled about those that have gone on. Don't let your heart be troubled about what's going to happen to you when you breathe your last breath. Don't be troubled about that stuff. What God says you can believe, He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And look, this is the way Jesus works. He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't tell you this stuff. He ain't like us, right? Oh, plant a seed and God will put... No! He don't lie to us. He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't even be telling you this stuff. He said, you can believe on me for this. He said, I'm telling you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it not so, I would not have told you. And look at what he says. Oh, man. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Boy, you think about those in our church that have passed away that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Huh? You think about that. He has prepared a place for them. Sister Faye had a place prepared for her. Right? My pop, they prepared a place for him. He's going to prepare a place for you. Don't let your heart be troubled about that stuff. I tell you, I love singing about heaven. I can't preach good about it, amen. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to get there, but you know what I'm saying. I ain't like preacher. I ain't ready to jump on the next bus, amen. I got a lot of things I want to do, amen. I got a lot of things I want to do before I get on the bus, but I can't wait to get there, amen. Sometimes I sit and I think about what that place is going to be for me. Maybe picking up trash if there is trash up there, I don't know. He's going to say, oh man, Ron Johnson. Oh my, what a mess. But I got a place for you. I prepared a place for you too, you know. Sure won't be up there next to Paul or John or Timothy or any of them guys, but I got a place for you. Just thank God I'll be there, amen. It says, I got a place prepared for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whew. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, in closing tonight, Jesus said it again in verse 6, the one thing. He said in verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what you got to have to get all these promises? One thing. One thing to get all the promises of God. Hey, it ain't perfect attendance. It ain't a clean life. It ain't a nice haircut. It ain't a nice suit or dress. It ain't any of that stuff. There's one thing to have all the promises of God. What is it, Mustang? Believe. 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 And you'll have everything that I preached about tonight. The Bible says, for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? He opens this whole book up to you. This record that he wrote, it's all yours from front to back. And then you start digging in there. There's some things in your Bible that's marked that's so precious to you. There's things that's marked in my Bible that's so precious to me. And they're all mine. And they're all yours. You can get in a quiet place with God and shout it out. Kind of get Brother Charlie to shout with me every now and then. I train him a little bit, amen. Shout with me every now and then. You go home, open your Bible, get in a quiet place, start shouting real loud. Make the neighbors wonder what's going on. Amen. But to open all this up to you, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if you'll just believe, all this is yours. It's all yours if you want it. Father, I thank you.